After our dinner was finished, Blackwell said he would meet me downstairs in the lion's den. He told me how to get there and asked me to make my own way, saying he had some calls to make first. I stepped across the landing and up a short hallway to use the men's room before heading down. The opulent bathroom had recessed overhead lighting, 3 toilet stalls, 2 urinals, and a sink counter. 2 sinks were built into the single countertop, and their gold-plated fixtures stood out brightly against the gleam of the white porcelain. They were also reflected back perfectly in the impeccably clean mirror that extended all the way to the ceiling. There was one other person in the room. He was standing at one of the sinks, wearing work boots, faded blue jeans, and rainbow suspenders that were dangling by his sides. He was shirtless. His shirt tails were still tucked in, but the rest of the shirt hung down from his waist. His blue blazer and a necktie were lying on top the towel rack, poised to topple off and soak up the soapy water that was spread liberally across the countertop. He was shaving. His streaked gray hair was pulled back into a ponytail, and he was applying more lather to the underside of his chin. Observing traditional men's room protocol, we avoided eye contact, each of us stealing only quick glances at the other. He did his stealing through the mirror. Finishing at the urinal, I stepped to the sink and performed the obligatory act of wetting my fingertips under the faucet and then touching them lightly to a folded linen napkin. Suddenly adopting the voice and manner of a pompous preppy, he said, "My, my, at Princeton they teach us to wash our hands after we pee." I knew what my rejoinder was supposed to be. I was supposed to say, "At Columbia they teach us not to piss on our hands." Instead I said, "At Columbia they teach us to hold it until we get home." My comment drew a wide smirk that as a consequence forced him to wipe shaving cream off his lips with his thumb. This gave him the appearance of a clown. The impression was further strengthened as he lifted his chin to shave beneath it, causing the corners of his mouth to sag downward in an Emmett Kelly-like frown. "So, you're the great Parker Robinson," he said. "How did you enjoy your supper with Huey Blackwell?" I put on my own pretend accent. Sir, I believe you have me at a disadvantage." He ignored my invitation to introduce himself and instead explained how he knew me. He said, "You're famous around here. Notorious, I should say. I saw you on television. Some alumni have been grumbling that you embarrassed the school. I don't think you did. Of course, for that matter, I don't think I did either." The stubble of his beard, sticking up through the shaving cream, resembled the stumps of a clear-cut forest poking up through snow. Despite the muffling effect of the lather, the scrape of his safety razor was still quite audible. "So what was it you did that embarrassed the school?" "Not much. Took over a few buildings." "Oh, really? Were you one of the campus radicals?" "I was here in 68, if that answers your question." I asked him, "And was that you in the famous photo with your feet propped on President Kirk's desk, smoking one of his cigars?" "No, that wasn't me. I was in the room, though." He said, "Your new pal Blackwell was a buddy of Grayson Kirk's. Did you know?" I said, "No." He said, "He was. And did you know that during the building takeovers, Huey Blackwell went totally berserk? He wanted every student expelled and prosecuted to the hilt. He even hired his own private detectives to conduct investigations. If he could have, he would have set up a guillotine on the sundial and conducted his own summary executions." As if to drive home his point, he made several sharp upstrokes under his chin with a razor, all the while glancing at me through the mirror. He said, "Blackwell claimed we ruined the school's reputation. At the time, it was true. For about 2 or 3 weeks there, the entire nation hated Columbia students, hated every one of us, thought we were all communists. Blackwell still thinks of us as traitors. He still doesn't get it that what we did was patriotic. I'll bet you Blackwell told you he would meet you downstairs in a few minutes and then took his own way down. Know why? No, why? Because he hates me. He can't stand running into me. That's why I keep my membership active, just to goad him. That's why I shave in here, too. He hates it when I leave little hairs behind on the sink." I said, "Well, maybe you should think about burying the hatchet. That was a lot of years ago. Maybe he's mellowed." For the first time, he looked directly at me. "Here's something you better learn, kid. Rabid animals don't mellow. Their rabies may go into remission, but it never goes away." I said, "Okay, I'll remember that." "Just watch yourself, kid. When he pounces, you won't even know it."